Welcome to the Prevention is Power podcast, where we put your heart health front and center. Brought to you by Clear Cardio. Hi, I'm your host, J.D. Enright, CEO and co-founder of Clear Cardio. In every episode, we dive into the science, stories, and strategies that can help you live longer, stronger, and smarter. Today's episode tackles a hot topic and busts a myth that's been causing real confusion. Do cholesterol-lowering medications cause dementia? It's a question many patients are asking, and today we're setting the record straight. To help us do that, I'm honored to welcome Dr. John Osborne, a Harvard-trained preventive cardiologist, a board-certified lipidologist, and one of the leading voices in cardiovascular care and prevention. Dr. Osborne has spent decades on the front lines of heart health, helping patients understand their risks, cut through misinformation, and make choices grounded in real science. Together, we're unpacking the truth behind statins, brain health, and why evidence-based prevention is not just powerful, it's essential. So if you've ever hesitated about cholesterol meds or wondered about their long-term effects, this episode is for you. So let's dive in. Dr. Osborne, wow, this is a controversial situation, a topic that a lot of people have brought up to me. I know you've had a lot of conversation mm-hmm. with patients, even on this very couch, yep. when we've done other podcasts. So mm-hmm. I'm excited, and our viewers are excited to hear what you have to say about that.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me, as always, JD. This is the third rail, if you will, of cardiovascular prevention, right?
Anyone that'll execute you?
Exactly, right? In the subway, don't touch the third rail.
Yeah,
right? You're going to die, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's a great, great topic. It's so incredibly important. Let me give you my summary statement first.
Okay.
And then we'll do the dissection.
Okay, sounds good.
So the bottom line is, if you're taking cholesterol-lowering drugs, statins typically, but now we have lots of different cholesterol-lowering drugs and LDL drugs that not only lower cholesterol, but more importantly, translate to less risk of stents, balloons, bypass surgery, heart attack, strokes, right? They do not adversely affect cognition.
Okay, so that's a bold statement.
There is interesting data that when you think, and let's start doing a deep dive, right? So first of all, when we talk about dementia, mm-hmm. right? Dementia is a very large term. It incorporates lots of different
Alzheimer's
diseases.
Being one of them.
Alzheimer's is one of those dementias.
Okay.
There's Lewy body dementia. There's frontotemporal dementia. There's vascular dementia, right? So there's many different ways that, alas, unfortunately, one can become demented, with different mechanisms, okay? So there's not just one disease, right? It's not mm-hmm. just Alzheimer's disease. Alzheimer's disease is probably the leading cause of dementia.
Because that's all you hear about. I mean, when I hear dementia, everybody talks about Alzheimer's. Actually, I don't hear dementia very often, that term used. Alzheimer's. But what I'm hearing here, what you're telling the listeners here, is that there's all types of different types of dementia, Alzheimer's being one of them. It just happens to be the leading one.
Precisely. Okay. And each of them have a different mechanism by which they basically destroy your brain and affect cognition, right?
Got it.
So it really doesn't make sense. I mean, I think, first of all, you need to be precise. Mm-hmm. However, having said that, of all of the different kinds of dementia that I mentioned, none of them are going to be worsened or caused by cholesterol-lowering drugs.
So there's no connection clinically or scientifically that's been proven that by lowering your cholesterol using medications or anything. I mean, if it's a medication, whether it's a medication or some type of diet or, you know, holistic diet, whatever, but mostly people think about medications like statins and things
right.
that lower the cholesterol, i.e. reduce your risk of heart attacks and strokes by, you know, eliminating plaque. But according to the conversations we've had in the past, but what you're saying, there's no factual connection between dementia, Alzheimer's or others,
right.
and cholesterol-lowering medicines.
Yeah, and we'll say cognitive impairment,
okay.
right? Which is kind of a fancy way of saying dementia. But
okay.
cognitive impairment, which includes all those different pathways, mechanisms, diseases that lead up to what we call dementia, right? So
okay.
whichever term we want to use, dementia, cognitive impairment.
Are there other cognitive impairment things, I don't know what to say, like diseases mm-hmm. that are not dementia related? Or is all dementia, is the cognitive issue directly related to dementia?
Yeah, I mean, so the way we're using it, dementia really defines a whole bunch of diseases.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, they all kind of sort of look the same, right?
Okay.
But cognitive impairment is a little more of a precise term. But for our purposes, dementia and cognitive impairment are synonymous.
Okay, fair enough.
So if we say one or the other, it's the same thing.
Because you can get hit in the head.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
have cognitive impairment,
traumatic
right?
brain injuries.
Yeah, like a lot of football players,
sure.
like, you know, things
right.
like that.
Right,
we're going to be talking to one soon.
Right.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. But we're talking specifically about dementia. Got
right.
it.
So let's go back now 40 years, right? So the reason I say that 40 years, in September of 1987, and before this drug was approved, so September of 1987 saw the first approval in the U.S. of a statin called lovastatin. Okay. We don't use it anymore. There are better statins, safer statins, et cetera. But that's a legacy statin. And I mention that because now you can see we have data that goes back almost 40 years, mm-hmm. right? And, of course, these drugs—
Is that a long time in this business, 40 years?
40 years is a pretty long time.
Got it. So
right?
There's a lot of data in science
exactly.
over 40 years. Right?
And, of course, we were using these drugs in humans in clinical trials. So mm-hmm. we have really well over 40 years worth of data about statins specifically. Mm-hmm. We can broaden that maybe a little bit of some of the other newer drugs where we also have great data on any concerns about cognitive impairment. But we'll take statins first because those are one of the most prescribed drugs in the world and in the U.S. About 39 million people right now in the U.S. are on these drugs.
Wow.
As I said, you know, as if you look
it's
at
like
the
10% or something.
Yeah,
like that,
yeah. So if you look at the total prescribed drugs in the U.S., they're always in the top 10. Okay.
Wow.
So very, very commonly used. They're now cheap and generic. They're very effective. Not only do they lower cholesterol, but they translate to less, more importantly, clinical events, right? Lowering cholesterol doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Lowering cholesterol only matters if it prevents strokes, heart attacks, balloon stents,
bypass
surgery.
Why
keeps
bother,
you alive.
Right.
Exactly.
Why
right. Because we're lowering a number, right?
Yeah.
I want to lower a number. That means you live longer.
Yeah.
Right?
Fair enough.
So I say that we have 40 years worth of safety data.
Yeah.
Right. So we, and literally hundreds of studies mm-hmm. looking at statins. In fact, if you look at the scientific literature, more studies have looked at, reported on, scientific studies mm-hmm. have looked at, reported on statins than any other single drug we've ever developed.
Wow. So it's been really, really researched.
Exhaustively studied.
So how, I'm curious, how does, we'll get to the like, why people think that. Why these cholesterol-lowering medications, in particular statins, have a correlation to dementia, cognitive
sure.
impairment. But before we do that, how does a statin actually lower your cholesterol?
Yeah, so great question. I'll respond in two ways, okay? The typical way, the quick, easy, simplistic way, is saying that they block the body's production of cholesterol, the synthesis of cholesterol, okay? That is true, but that's not really the whole story.
Okay.
Okay? So I'm going to tell you how statins actually work.
Okay.
And in fact,
I'm interested.
With many of the other drugs that have been developed over the last 40 years that also lower LDL cholesterol, the bad cholesterol, the lethal, lousy mm-hmm. cholesterol, all of these drugs, beyond the statins, at the end of the day, I always like to say all roads lead to Rome, right? Mm-hmm. I will explain how we have multiple drugs that all lower cholesterol. They do it differently, mm-hmm. but when you finally look at the net end result, the mm-hmm. pathway by which they lower cholesterol,
yeah.
they're all the same.
Okay, because I'm on two statins now that you put me on
yeah.
And have been for about a year,
uh-huh.
and it's drastically reduced my I was 200 and almost 300. On the, you know, the
I'm going to say great for my business.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And now it's
I
like,
don't want you to be great for my business.
No, fair enough.
Well,
yeah.
As a preventive cardiologist, yeah. we don't allow yeah. that to happen. So.
But I'm
yeah.
like 50 like now. So
yeah.
It's gotten well into control.
Yep.
And I was like, is there such thing as low, like too low cholesterol?
Quick answer? No.
Okay, so that's good.
Yeah.
So zero is okay.
Zero's fine.
Okay, wow. Right? So but a lot of people don't realize that. Yeah. Like, you know, so, and it's changed. Like, what they accepted as high cholesterol before has also gone up. But I don't mean to derail you here, but I am also, for those of you who are watching and listening, I am Dr. Osmond's patient, and I've been on two statins for now for about a year, and it's really reduced my cholesterol significantly, and I've had no side effects at all.
Right.
Not everybody can say that, but I know I have.
You know, it's interesting. So when we use statins, which again, the one of the most commonly prescribed drugs in the U.S., worldwide, et cetera, almost all the time, people say, well, what are the side effects?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you what the most common side effect of statins is.
Mm-hmm.
Most common side effect or side effects, you live longer, you have less strokes, less heart attacks, less balloons, less stents. By far, that's the most common side effect.
That's not a bad side effect.
Right?
Yeah.
Along the way.
It's more like a side benefit. Like,
what these drugs do.
Yeah.
Along the way, there will be a small percentage, right? Generally single digits, right? Very small percentage of people that can have muscle aches, joint aches. With the current statins, we usually don't see that. The older statins, yes, we don't really see that much more, but it can happen. Muscle weakness, things like that. These are generally annoying. They can certainly be bothersome. They can get in people's quality of life. And if you have them, and I always ask every time, all my patients, every time I see them, any muscle aches, joint aches. But I also like to point out, you know, the population that gets statins is typically a middle-aged population, right? Or maybe older, right?
What do you consider middle age?
Anybody younger than I am.
Well, that's a lot. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. No,
you know, like, I think that's a moving
40s?
Number.
40s?
Yeah, 40s.
50s?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and I'll tell you my pediatric cardiology joke.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So, excuse me in advance, but so I had a good buddy who was a pediatric cardiologist, right?
Yeah.
So they take care of very different things. They're more congenital heart disease.
Yeah.
Your children. Heart doesn't form right and that kind of stuff. Stuff that happens in the womb, right?
Yeah.
We, in the world of adult cardiology, you know, our patients tend to be older, right? Mm-hmm. They've developed plaque over decades, and then, you know, we kind of deal with the consequences. So I remember talking with my good buddy, Ben, and he was saying, well, so in cardiology, anything less than 65, Medicare, is really pediatric cardiology. Above 65 is adult cardiology. So that's kind of the joke there, right?
Interesting.
So Medicare, right?
Yeah.
Adult, right?
Fair enough.
He also said, you know, the distinction between adult cardiologists and pediatric cardiologists. So pediatric cardiologists are the infantry.
Very funny.
Adult cardiologists are the adultery.
Fair enough.
Sorry. Yeah, anyway, okay. Back to Target.
Yeah, I know. So yeah, so okay. So yeah.
Yeah. So and by the way, let me just gently correct you. The drugs we have you on, you're on a statin.
Okay.
By the way, for everybody out there, if you're going to do a statin, if you're going to use it, there is a go-to statin, right? Mm-hmm. There's several drugs. There's older drugs we don't use anymore. But there is a go-to statin, right? Now, it may not be the right statin for you, but it is the go-to statin. It's the most potent statin as far as LDL lowering.
What is that one?
I'll tell you in a second.
Okay,
very clean as far as side effects, drug-drug interactions, et cetera.
Good.
That is called rosuvastatin.
Rosuvastatin.
The old brand name was Crestor, but rosuvastatin. So that's the go-to statin.
Okay.
Right? Generally in the range.
Am I taking that one? I think I'm taking it. Okay.
Of course you are.
Okay.
It's a go-to statin.
Okay.
Now, if it disagrees with you, causes problems, whatever.
Never had a
problem.
We
lower the dose, switch it, whatever. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the go-to statin these days, right? There are other statins, but that's the go-to statin.
Got
right?
it.
Has great data. In fact, from studies published back in 2008, a number of years ago now, almost 20 years ago, we took people, and this is fascinating, I think. We took people who had no known heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
We call that primary prevention. They had no known heart disease, no balloons, no stents, no bypasses, whatever.
No plaque?
Well, we didn't know that.
You didn't know back
All we
then.
Knew
okay,
is
so
you hadn't had an
they
event.
They didn't have ClearCardio.
And you're alive.
Then. Yeah, okay.
Exactly. We didn't know, right? Yeah, those before ClearCardio.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but we thought it would, and we're going to enroll people, and this is the catcher, right? In this population, the risk factor was age. So it was guys above 50, women above 60.
Okay.
Right? couldn't have diabetes because that's already a high-risk population.
Okay.
So we excluded those. They got to be treated. Even back then, we knew that.
Okay.
And lastly, and here's the big catch, we enrolled people with below-average cholesterol.
Okay. So you're doing, people that on average had lower cholesterol
right,
than
so that's 130.
Got it.
Right? As it turns out, we enrolled about 19,000 people. The average LDL coming into the trial, because it had to be below 130, was 108.
Okay.
Pretty low.
In yeah,
fact, you'd say, wait a minute, why are you doing this study?
A third of what I was, yeah.
Exactly.
Was
why are you doing a study in people with normal cholesterol? In fact, below average.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because average LDLs are about 130. It's a little bit lower now, about 120. However, just remember, about half of us will die of a stroke or heart attack. And we do that at an average LDL of 130 or 120. So
wow.
I tell people, you know, don't get too comfortable with a, quote, average cholesterol number, because more likely than not, with an average LDL, mm-hmm. you'll probably have the average stroke or the average heart attack.
Wow. So, well, I don't think a lot of people realize that. They think, which is why all of these risk factors, and we're getting a lot off subject here, but these
we'll
risk factors that they put out
yeah.
there, you know, are really not meaningful in
They're
any
not.
Way until
right.
you do something like really look under the hood.
And two, and we'll get back to topic, but be very, very careful. When someone talks about a risk factor,
yeah.
it is a risk factor. It is associated with a disease, with mm-hmm. plaque, with heart attack, strokes, et cetera. But remember, a risk factor tells me nothing if you have the disease.
Right.
You could have one, two, four, five, whatever risk factors, but those risk factors could cause you to form plaque.
Or
maybe you're lucky and they don't.
Yeah.
We do not know until we look under the hood.
Yeah. Today, right? when we were in the clinic, we saw exactly that.
Yeah.
We had a patient come in whose mother and father both had, father passed away from a heart attack.
Yeah. 61.
61.
Sudden death.
Sudden death. Yeah.
Yep.
And the mother had a triple bypass.
Yeah.
Right.
In her
60s.
Right.
And we just assumed, and this person was overweight. You know, had some
under height.
There you go. Under height for the weight. But you know, what ended up, what we thought, you know, just initially, if you were just going to guess, would have
right,
you know,
right.
substantial, you know,
yeah.
disease, i.e. plaque in the arteries, had almost none.
Yeah.
Right. So
yeah.
we were looking like, wow, that's amazing. So yeah. Okay. So getting back to, so
yes.
what, how do these statins actually
okay.
reduce
so here's what happens.
Cholesterol?
At the cellular molecular level, yes,
yeah.
they will inhibit what's called the rate-limiting step of cholesterol production,
okay.
how we synthesize cholesterol. Right?
Got it.
By the way, and this becomes important in a moment when we talk about the brain, every cell in our body has all the biochemical machinery to make cholesterol. It
all
has
by
all,
itself.
All by itself.
So if you didn't eat anything
yeah.
that
you
had like considered cholesterol foods.
Yeah. You could go on a complete, so plants have no cholesterol in them.
Okay.
Only animal species, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you could go on a completely 100%
vegetarian.
Vegan diet.
Mm-hmm.
No cholesterol passes your lips. And guess what? Your cholesterol levels will be, well, hopefully average, right?
Mm-hmm.
They could even be very, very high, even despite the fact that you consume zero cholesterol. In fact, as it turns out, dietary cholesterol is not a, and I'm quoting the government committee that looks at nutrition,
mm-hmm.
is, quote, not a nutrient of concern. In other words, when we measure cholesterol in your blood,
yeah.
we're measuring cholesterol in your blood, where does it come from? It does not come from your diet. It comes from you, more specifically, your liver, and that is 95% genetically determined who your parents were.
Wow. Okay.
Okay.
So these statins are not fighting the outside world. They're fighting the inside world.
Right.
Your physiology.
Exactly.
Wow. 95% of the time.
And that's what statins do and these other cholesterol drugs. So to get into the weeds a little bit.
I don't think a lot of people realize that.
No, exactly.
They think, oh, it's a high cholesterol diet. Wait, hold on. What?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, you could eat a high cholesterol diet and have really essentially minimal, if any, impact upon the cholesterol measure in your bloodstream, or you could be on a vegan diet, cholesterol never passes your lips, and you could have homozygous familial hypercholesterolemia, which is a big fancy term for saying you have enormously high cholesterol, and all that cholesterol is not coming from your diet if you're a vegan,
Yeah.
It's because your liver is overproducing it.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
So
I did not know that.
So I'm going to tell people, the foundation of preventative cardiology is always going to be diet, exercise, stay height, weight proportionate, do all that stuff. And that has tremendous benefit,
mm-hmm.
particularly for keeping your weight under control, preventing type 2 diabetes, high mm-hmm. blood pressure, et cetera.
Visceral fat,
yeah. right? However, it has almost no impact upon your cholesterol.
Wow.
Right? So if you have high cholesterol, as we talked about before, I tell people it is hair color. Dr. Osborne, I'm not blonde. I want to be blonde. Well, mm-hmm. guess what? Your parents weren't blonde. You're not blonde. And if you want to be blonde, it's going to be in a bottle.
Got it. And that's why people
just how it works.
With normal cholesterol, what they consider normal cholesterol, like
right.
110, 150, whatever it is, whatever they used to tell me, like, your cholesterol's high. Why? Because it's over this amount. And somebody right. determined at some point this amount was normal and this amount was not normal. And so, you know, we can talk about that some other time. But
yeah.
But so you could have quote unquote normal cholesterol and have serious heart disease.
Oh, absolutely.
And lots of plaque because yeah. it's just how your body resolves that. That's
exactly.
amazing. Yeah.
yeah.
Okay. So it's
okay. So statins inhibit
yeah.
The key rate limiting step of cholesterol production.
Got it.
Okay. However, that's not really how they lower cholesterol.
Okay.
Okay. Once your liver, and this is really at the liver level, mm-hmm. once your liver, that enzyme is blocked, okay, cholesterol will build up in the liver cells.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The liver goes, I'm all full here of cholesterol. I'm all good. So what the liver does is after that enzyme is blocked, it then upregulates a receptor that is on the liver cells called the LDL receptor.
Okay.
Okay. So your liver goes, wait a minute, I got way too much cholesterol. So I need to absorb cholesterol from the bloodstream.
Okay.
Okay. So on the cell surface of the liver, on the cells of the liver, it will upregulate this LDL receptor, which basically grabs onto
like
cholesterol, right? Like a sponge, right? That's floating by in the bloodstream and will begin to pull cholesterol out of the bloodstream. When we measure your cholesterol in your bloodstream, your liver is sucking it up because it thinks it's, you know, it's...
There's too much of it.
There's too much of it.
So it's doing its job.
Exactly. And so what happens is that LDL actually gets absorbed by the liver. So all the cholesterol drugs we have right now today, and there's multiple. We have statins.
Mm-hmm.
We have drugs like ezetimibe.
Mm-hmm.
We have drugs like bempedoic acid.
I'm on that one too.
Exactly.
Yes.
And I'll tell you how they work.
I'm on the Crestor and the ezetimibe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We have these drugs called PCSK9s with the injectable drugs, right? They all lower LDL. They do it in a different way,
mm-hmm.
but ultimately, every single one of those drugs, how it really lowers cholesterol is it enhances the clearance of cholesterol from the bloodstream using the liver as it upregulates the LDL receptors.
So, okay. So, in layman's term,
yeah.
these medications are tricking the liver into
right.
thinking there's too much cholesterol in the bloodstream, forcing
exactly.
the liver to go out and just
suck it all up
and urinate it out. Or whatever. Whatever.
Goes into bile, actually.
Goes into bile.
Yep.
Okay, and where does the bile go?
So the bile drips into the gut.
Okay.
And we call it fecal sterols.
Oh, so we poop it out.
Yeah.
Okay. We poop it out, guys.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
So by the way, except for the liver
yeah.
excreting it, turning that cholesterol into bile,
yeah.
right, and then excreting it that way, we really have extremely limited ways of getting rid of cholesterol. The only other place that we get rid of any significant amount of cholesterol, but it's like way, way down as far as the ability to get rid of it,
yeah.
is in shedding skin cells. That's
Interesting.
It. So if you have a defect in this LDL receptor,
yeah.
right? In other words, you don't make them.
Yeah.
And this is a genetic disorder. You don't make them or you make defective LDL receptors.
Mm-hmm.
You have no way of clearing your LDL from your bloodstream,
mm-hmm.
and this is how people get these genetic forms of very, very high cholesterol.
And therefore have a tendency to have a lot more plaque in their arteries.
Absolutely.
And
you begin, you know, you begin to warehouse cholesterol
mm-hmm.
where it was never meant to be warehoused,
yeah.
like your coronary arteries, your carotid arteries. You can put it in your skin and your tendons, all kinds of crazy stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
But that's how it works. So the other drug you're on, is Zetia or Zetamib. Zetia is the old brand name, mm-hmm. but it's Zetamib. So Zetia works differently initially.
Okay.
Okay. What Zetia does is there are receptors in our gut mm-hmm. that absorb cholesterol.
Mm-hmm.
What Zetia does is blocks those pumps that mm-hmm. pump cholesterol from the gut, mm-hmm. from food, into your body.
Okay.
So, again, what happens is, like statins, the liver goes, okay, I'm not getting enough cholesterol, so therefore it upregulates the LDL receptor. So the net effect, how Zetia works, is also same. Further upregulating the LDL receptor.
Got it.
Okay?
So it's so
enhancing the clearance of LDL cholesterol.
Got it.
Okay. Statins work here, upregulate the LDL receptor. Mm-hmm. Zetia works here, upregulates the LDL receptor. Mm-hmm. We have several other drugs. I won't bore you with those, but some of the newer drugs. But how they all ultimately work, they may work differently here, mm-hmm. but ultimately how they work is they enhance the clearance of cholesterol by upregulating the LDL receptor. So if you take a PCSK9 drug, these are some of the newer drugs introduced about 10 years ago. They're injectable drugs. Okay, mm-hmm.
What is it called?
So brand names would be Repatha mm-hmm. or Praluent, and okay. then there's a newer one called Leqvio.
Okay.
Those are the brand names. They're called PCSK9 drugs.
And PCSK9.
Yep, PC. Okay. SK9.
PCSK9. Okay.
Yep. yeah, anyway, there's a way I could people how to remember it. Not that you have to, but,
yeah,
you know, PCSK9s. But whatever. PCSK9s. But these are all injectable drugs. They're really, really effective. Generally, we use them if you can't take a statin
mm-hmm.
or if we
what
need
do you mean if you
further.
Can't? Like you get a
well. You get a side effect
or
muscle
or they
aches,
just don't work
or joint
for some
aches,
reason,
or
right?
they don't work or whatever. Yeah. So we use them usually with a statin, but sometimes if you can't take or tolerate mm-hmm. a statin, or if you need further LDL lowering, if we add on Zetia, so here's the rule, whatever the statin is doing, mm-hmm. your rosuvastatin in your case, but whatever your statin is doing, I add on Zetia, I get about 20-25% further reduction.
Okay.
Okay.
So if you get somebody with severe heart disease, like we've
yeah.
seen patients here right. at Clear Cardio, who really, we go, wow, that's a lot. You've got a large plaque burden. You've got high risk of heart attack and stroke. And it's the soft plaque that we're concerned about. At that point, when you treat them, are you treating them? You're throwing the whole kitchen sink at them. You're saying, hey, we've got to get this lower.
Yeah.
So you may do this PCSK9 as well as a normal statin.
Right.
So you're going to have a cocktail.
Right.
Okay, got it.
So PCSK9, PC, politically correct.
Okay.
SK9.
Okay.
Super dog.
Okay.
SK9.
Yeah, super K dog. Yeah, K9.
PCSK9.
PCS. I like that.
Yeah.
All right, very good.
Anyway.
I'll never forget it now.
There you go.
PCSK9.
Politically
okay.
correct.
Yeah.
Super dog.
I like it. All right, so
anyway.
You get these drugs. Okay, so that's how they you know, effectively reduce the cholesterol in your bloodstream.
Right.
And therefore.
And when you take a PCSK9 drugs, which yeah. are the most potent as far as raising the LDL receptor
yeah.
that turns on the sponge of the
yeah.
liver, they'll raise it by 300%. You're going to express 300% more of these LDL receptors on the surface of your liver cells.
Wow.
So you can imagine they really start sucking in the cholesterol.
Super sponge.
Super sponge.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Very, very good.
So if I need a 20% beyond a statin, Zetia,
yeah.
Yeah. Zetamib, 40%, we have a drug called, and these are oral drugs, called Nexlizet.
Mm-hmm.
That's a combination of Zetia plus another drug called yeah. bempedoic acid.
Yeah.
That'll give me a 40% additional LDL lowering. If I need 60%, then it's the PCSK9 injectable drugs.
Fair enough.
20, 40, 80, 60. So
okay.
getting back to the brain,
yeah.
right? So yes, the
yeah,
brain.
So, yeah, so nothing you've told me thus far concerns me. It makes perfect sense. And I think I'm learning a lot about how these things work.
Mm-hmm.
And also the effect of cholesterol from outside foods versus your internal body mechanism manufacturing the cholesterol. That was news to me. But then you have this whole idea of how when you have lower cholesterol in your body, for some reason you get dementia or cognitive impairment. How do they make that leap? How do people,
yeah.
like even doctors and some scientists
yeah.
out there, if you want pseudoscience.
I hear it all the time.
yeah.
In fact, we had a patient last week
yeah.
Where his doctor
yeah.
said, oh, never take a statin. It'll make you demented.
Yeah.
Completely wrong.
Yeah.
That the science does not show that.
Yeah. It's
so
quackery.
Again, we've, yeah.
Yeah.
quackery or plackery.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So we've had 40 years to really, really understand these drugs. What's the upside? What's the downside? What are the side effects?
And you're a board-certified lipidologist, so you know this stuff.
Yeah. So board-certified lipidologist. I've been involved with the National Lipid Association. That's our organization.
It's how fats get absorbed into
All the and, you know, there's a whole
cholesterol
bunch of
and all
all that kind of stuff. So I'm a lipid nerd.
Yeah.
And
when I introduced you, like when I opened up, there was you said you're one of only three in Texas. Who are these other two people?
The two guys from UT Southwestern, because we're in Dallas, that won the Nobel Prize in 1984 for identifying cloning the LDL receptor that we've been talking about.
So you're in rare company.
Yeah.
You're one of those rare birds.
I'm sure when they hear this, they're going, oh, God, not Osborne. But
they know
that Osborne. They won the Nobel Prize.
You're in very good company.
I'm more applied. I just want to save lives with the data.
Fair enough. Okay, so I'm sorry.
Go ahead. So here is the flawed logic, okay? Mm-hmm. Your fat is mostly brain. Yeah. No, it's the other way around. Your brain is mostly fat. True.
Mm-hmm. And fat is cholesterol.
Well, fat is not. So cholesterol is a form of fatty-like substances.
Okay, fair enough.
It sort of behaves like fat. Okay. It's, you know, if you had a pool of it, it'd be glisteny and slick and slippery. It's not really a fat, but it behaves like a fat.
Because I hear these, I've had it told to me, like to my face, by a doctor who was well respected and said, you don't want to take these statins, you want to stay away from them because they, you know, there's a link to dementia, Alzheimer's and things because your brain is mostly made up of cholesterol. And I'm like,
right.
Okay.
Yes. So there's the flawed logic. Is your brain full of fat? Yes, it is. And it should be, right? 25% of our total weight of our brain is in cholesterol.
Okay.
So that's a lot.
Yeah, it's a quarter of it. Yeah.
So the logic is, if I lower your cholesterol, and remember, when we're lowering cholesterol, we're talking about cholesterol that we measure in your bloodstream.
Right.
This becomes important.
Okay.
Okay?
Remember that, guys.
Exactly. In your bloodstream.
Bloodstream cholesterol.
Right? If I lower the cholesterol in your bloodstream, I'm somehow going to suck fat or cholesterol out of your brain where you need it. And then that's going to cause mental decline,
cognitive
impairment dementia, whatever.
Dementia, okay? Alzheimer's. Yeah.
So I get that A is B, B is C, right? Mm-hmm. It is completely untrue. So let me tell you why.
Completely untrue.
Completely untrue.
Say that again.
Completely untrue.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes.
First of all, we have done, because we've had statins for so long, obviously, you know, we want to know what are the potential harms of these drugs, right? So we have, you know, spent the last 40 years looking, checking, sorting, double checking, right? We want to understand what's the upside, what's the downside. So we have done massive studies with massive numbers of patients over very long follow-up to see
hundreds of millions of patients over decades,
to understand because of those facts, but I'll tell you why it's untrue molecularly. Do statins contribute to mental decline, cognitive impairment? The answer is a firm no. In fact, in general, and I'll tell you why, in general, there may be some benefit in prevention of Alzheimer's. Well, dementia, let me say dementia to be more precise. Yeah, so if anything, at a minimum neutral to perhaps some benefit. Now remember, when we talk about dementia, we talk about all kinds of different ways that one becomes demented. One of those kinds is vascular dementia, right? Mm-hmm. We have plaque in our carotids, it ruptures, we throw gruel, debris, crap up into our blood vessels in our brain, and we end up with little micro infarcts all of our brain.
What's an infarct?
So an infarct is basically...
Sounds like a swear word.
It is in our world.
Infarct yourself.
An infarct is basically where you have a blockage of that vessel, and the tissue, if it's a heart, heart muscle dies. Oh. If it's the brain, it's brain.
So
it's brain death.
So it gets no oxygen, so that piece of the brain dies.
Exactly.
And that would infect, obviously,
so that we call that an infarct. Yeah, okay. So thank you for helping me avoid... Yeah. Medically,
I didn't want to infarct myself.
No, exactly, right?
Oh, yeah.
So there is a form of dementia called vascular dementia, right? Yeah. You begin to knock off neurons, right, over time and stuff, and you get plaque in there, and it goes up, and we knock off neurons.
So if
and
you reduce that plaque, you reduce the amount of time, how often that could happen.
So for vascular dementia, there's probably a benefit.
Wow.
For other forms of dementia that are not dependent upon vascular causes, like true Alzheimer's, Lewy body, frontal temporal dementia, and all that, that molecularly are we end up at a very different way,
outside of
it won't help, it won't hurt. But for vascular dementia, probably beneficial. So if anything, the bottom line is for dementia, cognitive impairment, whatever you want to call it, there is no harm or maybe a small potential benefit.
Got it.
And we know that literally from 40 years worth of research.
And millions of
millions of people. Okay.
Wow.
Furthermore, very nice studies have been done a few years ago. We talked about the PCSK9 drugs. Highly, highly effective at lowering up cholesterol. They're injectable. They're expensive.
How easy to get these
Days? They're expensive, right? We're talking...
Because they're new? They're expensive because they're new?
Yeah, they're all branded. And the other thing is they're monoclonal antibodies. So they're kind of expensive to make. They're not what we call small molecules, right? Aspirin, small molecule.
Right.
Take it orally. These are all monoclonal antibodies. You have to take them via injection, et cetera. Mm-hmm. They are
sub-Q
made...
Sub-Q or intramuscular?
Sub-Q.
Sub-Q.
Yeah, and they come in little pen, little things. Boom,
kind of
done.
Like a little insulin thing.
You do it every 2 weeks.
Got it.
Not a big deal. They're very, very effective. And in fact, if you look at side effects, again, these have been exhaustively investigated too, the only side effects of PCSK9... with statins, yes, you get that muscle aches, joint aches, weakness, things like that. We do not see those with PCSK9s, right?
Wonderful. So all those issues from old-day statins that have slowly been resolved over the 40 years plus,
right?
That and now it's even getting better.
Yeah.
So I read an article today, and I think you may have sent it to me, that there's this new company. There's a company based out of Boston that has a new drug that just... It wasn't FDA approved, but it was recognized as having potential, and it was a one shot or a two shot that literally.
So
like,
there's a company, Verve.
Verve, okay.
It's on the New York Stock Exchange called Verve.
Okay.
So they have a drug in development. So they have these weird abbreviations called. It's called Verve 102.
Okay, and that's a statin?
Well, no, it's not. So we talk about PCSK9. So I'm going to give you this monoclonal antibody.
Right.
This monoclonal antibody will get into the bloodstream, and it will suck up this thing called PCSK9.
Got it.
The less PCSK9 actually retards the expression of the LDL receptor.
Got it.
If I get rid of PCSK9, 95% of which circulates in the bloodstream, and I use a sponge, like a PCSK9 monoclonal antibody that binds to it and takes it out, the LDL receptor is now unrepressed.
Mm-hmm.
We enhance the LDL expression, the expression of the LDL receptor, and cholesterol really falls because of
that. Okay, so the PCSK9 is actually an injectable.
Yes.
It's it works different than a statin, right?
Correct.
In so much as if you have these receptors that are designed to absorb the cholesterol, and then pass that through the bile and out through the system through your pooping.
Yep.
But if you have something that's inhibiting those receptors from functioning,
which is PCSK9,
which is this
it downregulates
chemical, which is this
receptors.
Chemical in your body.
It's a molecule.
It's a molecule.
Right.
You inject this PCSK9 drug, which then binds to it. It's a binding agent, which binds to that and therefore removes that. I don't know,
inhibitor.
Cloaking effect?
Yeah, cloaking effect, inhibitor, that.
Over that receptor that now can, so it clears it out, unclogs it, and says, okay, now this receptor can absorb all that.
So think of PCSK9.
Yeah.
We talk about PCSK9 drugs that really are drugs that absorb, get rid of PCSK9.
Right.
PCSK9 is Roundup.
Got it.
Okay, we're trying to grow our grass. It won't grow because somebody put Roundup on it.
Got it.
We get rid of the Roundup.
Yeah.
We have a beautiful yard. Right?
I like that.
So the grass is their LDL receptors that are there to just suck in all that cholesterol.
So
right? We've unrepressed it.
Okay.
So the article you're reading about was a company called Verve. So we can target the PCSK9 pathway with monoclonal antibodies.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a newer drug that actually temporarily silences the PCSK9 gene in the liver. That's Leqvio.
Right.
Pretty cool. Two injections a year.
Wow.
Pretty cool, right? The next step is not just temporarily silencing it. Yeah. So we take 2 injections a year of Leqvio.
Yeah.
Instead, we do gene editing.
So that's
Turn off the PCS9 gene.
Yeah.
One shot permanently.
Wow.
We've done this in monkeys.
Okay.
Right? You give it in monkeys. Mm-hmm. We lower LDL. We knock out PCSK9. Mm-hmm. It's basically no longer measurable in your bloodstream.
Mm-hmm.
But because of that, we then knock down LDL by 70% in monkeys.
Wow.
Okay. One shot. That's it. The gene is silenced. It's completely silenced. It's edited. It's no longer active. And it's durable over 3 years.
Wow.
So
I can see a lot of controversy, guys, on this one as it starts coming out, you know, gene editing and things like that.
Well.
But it will be interesting to see how this plays out.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
So
if it works and there's permanent side effects, that's a miracle breakthrough.
It's going to be the vaccine for heart disease.
Yeah.
Down the road.
Vaccine for
now,
heart disease.
The thing is, though, when we start doing gene editing,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to make sure it only does that. It doesn't do anything else. There are no off-target effects.
Right.
We don't want to have very low LDL and grow a third eye.
So the safety
is going to be the big issue.
There's going to be a lot of studies on this, guys. Keep an eye out on it.
It's going to be a while, right? And we're going to reserve it for people that have high cholesterol that we just can't get down, that would be life-threatening, and they're going to be the first people to get
disease,
this, right? Because risk versus benefit.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry to get off track there.
But it's extremely exciting. Yeah. So we are beginning to go down that pathway of not just blocking the pathways,
right?
Temporarily silencing the gene,
right.
But literally doing gene editing and turning off PCSK9 permanently. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we're now doing phase 2 in human trials with this VERV-102 compound. It's hard to even call it a drug because it's literally gene editing.
Yeah.
One shot, you're done.
Yeah. You know, when I was with Lonza, I was head of global strategic growth investments for a company called Lonza. And I was part of the team that developed and built the world's largest viral cell and gene therapy facility in Pearland, Texas. That was fantastic. And worked with a company called Bluebird Bioscience.
Yeah, Bluebird. Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. In Boston, out of Cambridge.
Yeah, exactly.
Adrenal leukodystrophy.
They cured
adrenal leukodystrophy, which was a death sentence for young boys, mostly aged in their teens. So there's a huge opportunity. Lorenzo's Oil, exactly. Right. For those of you who have ever not seen the movie, check it out. It's a movie about it. It's really interesting. I was a part of that team that helped commercialize that product many, many years ago. But I have an affinity to this type of technology. Not everybody does. They sell. There's a lot of concerns and ghosts in the closet. And what's going to happen? Am I going to get a third eye or a fourth arm or whatever? I could use a fourth arm actually. I think all of us could. But okay. So getting back to the brain. So unequivocally, there's no connection to lowering cholesterol.
Right. So clinical. So long term, millions of people, long term studies have shown no increased risk.
Yeah.
Of dementia, cognitive impairment with statins, period, end of story.
Yeah.
Number two, let's look at the molecular genetics of this.
Yeah.
Okay. So remember we talked about cholesterol circulating in the bloodstream.
Yeah.
Okay?
Always. It's always there.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's always there, right?
Yep.
Even if you consume no cholesterol, you could have high cholesterol, right? Because it's all made by your body. So the important message here is to understand that what I'm going to call the peripheral circulation and the rest of our body, excluding the brain, which is, we have this thing called the blood-brain barrier. So the brain exists in its own very special space.
Yeah.
It is almost completely divorced from what's happening outside of the brain.
By design, to protect
By design, right? To protect against organisms and all kinds of crazy
stuff. There's lots of drugs that don't pass through the blood-brain barrier.
Exactly, right? So you have the brain isolated within a force field, right?
Mm-hmm.
So as it turns out, when we measure cholesterol in your bloodstream, we're just looking at peripheral cholesterol.
From the neck down.
Basically from the neck down, right? And in fact, a great statistic to underscore how separate and distinct and different these two lipid pools, cholesterol pools, are. LDL cholesterol, the bad cholesterol, if you think of it sort of having a drug, we talk about half-lives, right? You take a drug and... if it has a 12-hour half-life, 12 hours after you take the drug, half of the drug will be metabolized and gone, and another 12, another half, et cetera. That's a half-life.
Yeah.
Well, we can also express that in LDL. So LDL has a half-life from the time it's made till it's reabsorbed and taken out of the circulation. So the typical half-life of LDL is 3 to 5 days.
Okay.
We make more, we suck it up, yeah. Whatever. Rinse, lather, repeat. The half-life of LDL, basically, in the brain is 5 years.
Okay. Big, very big difference.
So, and all of the molecules that carry cholesterol in our bloodstream, we call them lipoproteins, do not exist in the brain.
So there's no interconnectivity. There is no cross-pollination at all.
Right. So there is no, there actually is no LDL in the brain. When I talk about cholesterol, LDL, I'm really talking about cholesterol.
Got
right?
it. Fair enough.
That cholesterol that's in your brain has been there a long, long time. It's not going anywhere. Right?
And well, this is fantastic.
All of the cells in our brain have all of the biochemical machinery to make as much cholesterol as they need.
All by itself.
All by themselves.
Without any support from the body.
Exactly. They do not need cholesterol from the liver.
Got it.
All the other cells, we use it, et cetera.
So that's pretty definitive. So for all of you out there who had those concerns or had doctors or other people tell you that, you know, you're taking this a statin or a cholesterol-lowering medication, it's definitively myth-busted. It is not true. It's not accurate. You heard it right from Dr. Osborne, who, quite frankly, is one of the most, experienced physicians in the world in this space. If you could just say it, look right in the camera and say one last time, does lowering your cholesterol with medications or anything else have any correlation to dementia or cognitive reduction in at all?
None whatsoever, except for vascular dementia, right? Because of plaque,
right?
It may be actually beneficial.
Beneficial.
Right, but no evidence of harm whatsoever.
So we're going to drop the mic there. Thank you all for joining us for another version episode of Prevention is Power podcast by Clear Cardio. Myself, the host, J.D. Enright. And with us again, Dr. Osborne, the Chief Medical Officer for Clear Cardio. Thank you again. What an eye-opening podcast. I appreciate it. Anything last thing you want to say to the audience?
All I can tell you is most all people out there, right, 44% of us will die of plaque. It's plaque here, strokes, plaque here is the heart. We talked about some of the different tools we use to modify cholesterol. It is the fertilizer to the whole process. There's lots of other things we can do as well. We'll explore those in further broadcasts and podcasts here. But the real message is don't take a chance. Don't gamble. We got to know if you have plaque, right? We look under the hood. We have cutting-edge AI-based technology that is exquisitely accurate and sensitive to detect this. No one, in my humble but accurate opinion, should be suffering the consequences of plaque. We call that strokes, heart attacks, mini-strokes, balloons, stents, bypass surgery, or sudden cardiac death. We need to eliminate it. We have all the tools available. We have great tools on treating plaque, stopping plaque, reversing plaque. Plus, there's stuff in the pipeline that we kind of alluded to, and many others that will blow your mind as far as things we can do to treat and stop and reverse plaque. Our biggest problem is we never know who has the plaque until they show up with symptoms.
Exactly.
And that plaque has been there and detectable with our technology literally for decades. So
perfect.
If you're worried about heart disease, don't worry about it. Act upon it. We have the technology. It is here. I always like to say we're always existing about 10 years ahead of everybody else, right? 10 years from now, I think this will be kind of what everybody's doing, and it'll make sense. And, of course, you would do nothing else.
It better be.
What really bothers me is in the meantime, until this is standard of care, and it will be, we're going to lose millions of lives and have millions of heart attacks and strokes, all of which can be prevented. So check our website, clearcardio.com. Subscribe, of course, as well to our channel on YouTube. Get informed. Get checked out. Look under the hood. Please help me, as I love to say to JD, and he cringes a little bit, please put me as a cardiologist out of business.
Yeah.
Okay?
Exactly.
because the technology is here. Everybody should be taking advantage of this. So,
well, thank you very much.
I'm clear.
Yes.
I'm sorry. You're clear.
Yeah, I'm clear.
I'm cardio.
Yes.
It's clear cardio.
Clear cardio.
Power is prevention.
Yeah.
Thanks again, everybody.
Thank you. Have a good day, guys. Cheers. Bye.